Chapter 4. Bill Gantz. The transition from night to day seemed instantaneous. Carl's alarm buzzed loudly, the mechanical digits now reading 7 a.m. Almost immediately, the phone on his nightstand rang. The front desk was calling with his wake-up call, a reminder of the day's tasks ahead. As the weight of the dream and his memories lingered, Carl steeled himself for the day ahead. He was on a mission to uncover the truth, to give a voice to the stories that needed to be told. With Siren, determination in his heart, and a newfound purpose, he prepared to face the day. The morning light filtering through the drapes of the Mountains Whisper Inn greeted Carl as he prepared to depart. He pulled on his coat, grabbed his notebook, and made his way to the lobby. In the lobby, the innkeeper, a stout man with salt and pepper hair and a kind face, was polishing the front desk's wooden surface. He glanced up and greeted Carl with a warm smile. "Morning. Hope you had a good sleep. Before you go, would you like a coffee and Pop-Tart?" "On the house." Carl chuckled softly. "Pop-Tart?" "That takes me back." "Sure, why not? And I'll take that coffee, too." The innkeeper smiled, handing Carl a steaming cup and a neatly packaged Pop-Tart. "Not exactly gourmet, but it hits the spot," he remarked with a wink. Carl sipped the hot, surprisingly flavorful instant coffee and took a bite of the Pop-Tart, finding it pleasantly nostalgic. "Thanks," he said, feeling the warmth of the beverage chase away the chill of the early morning. "I've got a long day ahead." "You're off to see Bill Gantz, aren't you?" The innkeeper's question was casual, yet there was a hint of curiosity in his eyes. Carl raised an eyebrow. "News travels fast in small towns." The innkeeper chuckled. "Indeed it does. Well, give him my regards." Outside, Carl's Honda had morning Adirondack dew glistening from the windshield. Carl thanked the innkeeper once more and got in. As he drove, he observed the quaint town of Speculator, taking in the simple beauty of its homes and businesses. Soon they reached the outskirts, and the landscape transformed into a more residential setting. A house stood out among the rest. It was a patriotic abode with a U.S. flag draping gracefully from the porch. Oak leaves cascaded from the massive tree in the front yard, forming a beautiful golden blanket on the ground. An F-150, showing signs of wear and tear, was parked in an asphalt driveway. The unevenness of the surface suggested it had been a DIY job. The Honda came to a stop, and Carl idled in the driveway for a minute, maybe to gather courage or to allow Bill to see he had an unannounced visitor. He approached the door, taking a moment to appreciate the home's character before knocking. The door was opened by a man in his early 50s. Broad-shouldered and slightly weathered, his deep-set eyes gave away years of experience and hardship. This was Bill Gantz. "Mr. Gantz?" Carl began, extending his hand. "I'm Carl from the New York Times. Frank Stiglitz sent me." Recognition flared in Bill's eyes at the mention of Frank's name. "Ah, Frank. We go way back. Served together in Desert Storm. Come on in." As Carl entered, the aroma of a hearty breakfast wafted through the air. Eggs, bacon, and toast crisping in a toaster filled the kitchen with their tantalizing scent. Bill gestured towards the table laden with food. "I was just fixing myself some breakfast. Care to join?" Gratefully, Carl nodded. "Thank you. I'd love to." The two settled down, and over mouthfuls of delicious food, Bill began to open up. "Frank and I, we went through hell together. But these days, most of that time, it's just a blur." Carl, sensing the pain beneath Bill's words, treaded lightly. "I hope I'm not crossing the line, but I'm sorry to hear about your son, Stephen. How did you find peace?" Bill's voice trembled slightly as he spoke of Stephen. "We were just out there, you know? Having a good laugh, paddleboarding like we'd done countless times. It was supposed to be a simple, joyful day." He paused, his eyes glistening. Then, in a split second, everything went wrong. Stephen, he drowned, and with all my combat medic training, all those years patching up soldiers in the field. I couldn't save my own boy. The weight of his guilt hung heavily in the silence that followed. Bill, taking a deep breath. I had heard of a place deep within the Adirondacks, an area known as the Triangle. Desperation drove me there. I was searching for anything that could grant relief. Carl leaned in, intrigued. Did you find it? Bill's eyes clouded with memory as he began to narrate, his voice quivering with the weight of his tale. I'd found a relatively flat spot in the triangle. There were tall trees all around me. The air was really cool, and I could smell the scent of the pines all around me. There were other older spots where people had camped before, so I pitched my tent off to the side. It was pretty eerie, and the odd thing was there were no sounds, crickets or anything, not even the rustle of leaves. He hesitated, taking a deep breath before continuing. Nearby, I'd set up a small campfire. I welcomed the warmth, and as I sat there, staring into the fire, lost in thoughts of Stephen, the memories as fresh as the firewood I'd just chopped, on the opposite side of the fire, his voice wavered as emotion took over. I wasn't alone. A windless chill came over me, and on the edge of my campfire's light, he appeared. Elias? Carl asked. Bill nodded nervously. He appeared as if out of nowhere, just on the edge of the campfire's glow, like he was hidden in the shadows of the light. There was something unnatural about him, the way the light didn't seem to touch him, the way the very air around him felt, charged. Carl felt the hair on the back of his neck rise. What did he say? Bill's voice was a mere whisper in hopes that Elias would not hear him. Leaned into Carl as if they were not the only two in the house. He knew about my pain, my nightmares. He said he could take them away, but the cost was high. I'd experience a fear so intense, so paralyzing, it would make every nightmare seem like a child's tale. And then, the next moments are fuzzy. I remember a paralyzing fear gripping me, taking my very breath away. Worse than any battlefield fear I've experienced. I felt like a cornered animal, my body frozen but my mind racing. I screamed, Carl. I screamed into the void, hoping, praying someone would hear. But all that returned were the distant howls of wolves, blending, mocking me. Carl's heart pounded. But you found peace? Bill looked up, his eyes deep and distant. Yes, at a cost. Elias's final words to me were a warning. Never speak in detail of what memories he gave me that night or where the campground actually is. If I do, the nightmares of that night and all the horrors of my past would return tenfold. Carl gulped, sensing the weight of the promise made to Elias. If I were to seek this place, this triangle, could you give me any hints without breaking your promise? Bill hesitated, then sketched a rough map, marking the base of a mountain trail in a small town called Beaver Creek. Here, this is where my journey began. But be careful, Carl. Some doors, once opened, can never be closed again. I just can't give you any more than that, okay? Give Frank my regards. With that ominous advice, Carl thanked Bill and left, his mind a whirlwind of thoughts, wondering what awaited him in the heart of the Adirondacks.